God bless everybody. This is Joe. I'd like to share with you a teaching, and I've titled it Believing a Lie. We've been learning a lot about lies and truth and these such things. Jerry shared on June 2nd in a teaching entitled Babylon. He said that as we feather through life, life isn't easy, and we have to face things whether we like it or not. And then he continued, you know, as we deal with a whole lot of heck in life, we come out of it better conditioned for the next round of a whole lot of whatever. And we do. And it's we experience and we grow and we mature. Another thing he shared is that we live in a Christian bubble. We're born again. We're incorruptible, unmovable, untarnishable. And our lives are sealed with the token of Holy Spirit. And it was given to us when we exercised our free will. In other words, we believed God's word after we heard it. And when that happened, we were given the measure of faith. And with this measure of faith, all Christians have it, without exception, we can live in this tarnished world. We live in it, but we're not tarnished by it. And that he finished of another part of the same teaching saying that God's hand is upon us and will remain on us. And I was thinking about that, what I just shared with you, and one of the thoughts that I had is about God's nature, that it's been so corrupted that what is natural, people think is unnatural. What is godly, people think is ungodly. Well, God by nature set up his word. He's explained in his word. His word shares to the finite person who God is and what he's all about, to the point that a person can believe, mix their faith with God's word, and get born again. And when they do that, they receive a token of Holy Spirit. And it's all by God's word. So if God's word is corrupted, then it's going to take people away from that. And that bears credence with one other thing that Jerry shared on the 9th of June in his teaching, Lies Our Greatest Enemy. He said, simply put, lies are our greatest enemy. Lies kill. Now, we shared a whole lot about that, but lies kill. And so if you think about somebody never hearing the word, what is necessary to become born again, then they will never come out of the death that Adam caused. So lies kill. Lies kill to the point that I wanted to share a teaching that's been working in my heart as a result of many of these things that we're learning. And it's called Believing a Lie. And there's a minefield out there. There's a minefield populated with lies and with partial truths. And it's vital that we understand the truth of God's word. Then we can understand the battle that we're dealing with, because we're out in it every day. Jerry, he coined it, as we feather through life, life isn't easy. Well, it's a minefield. It's a battle out there. And I wanted to share a little bit about the lies that are out there, only from a point of setting a stage for the things I really wanted to share in God's word about the pendulum that is always swinging. And there's two sides to it. We don't want to be on either side, by the way. You'll see that when I explain it. But understanding the lies and the error will help build a picture of the minefield that we continue to navigate in daily. And thank God that we live in a Christian bubble. It's in God's grace that we live in, that we're never going to lose our Holy Spirit salvation. We're not going to get corrupted. We're uncorruptible. We're not going to be moved off of God's word because we choose to stand. And no matter how tarnished the world is, we're not going to be tarnished by it. Our lives are sealed with that token of the gift of Holy Spirit. Isn't that the greatest? In Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 14 and 15, because I want to show you a little bit about the root of the word to lie, to deceive. And this is by no means comprehensive. I'm only painting a general picture to help set the stage for what I really will be teaching in a few minutes. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to lie, deceive. And this is the Greek word that has the flavor of deception, of lies. It comes by every wind of doctrine. It comes by men practicing and doing things that look one way, but the motive is totally different. There's cunning, it's crafty, and they lie in wait to do it. They plan it, they scheme it, and this is part of the minefield. Well, that's verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So on one side, you have every wind of doctrine that may have bits and pieces of truth in it, but mostly it's every wind of lies, every wind of deception that looks like something it's not. And the counter to that is to speak the truth in love and continue to grow up in him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Just like we know that we did not come up with the truth of God's word, we also didn't come up with this plethora of lies that we're faced with that I just explained in verse 14. You didn't come up with every wind of doctrine. You're just tossed to and fro by it, carried about with it. This is the battering. This is the everyday that we are out in life, feathering through life. That's pretty good, Jerry, as we feather through life. Well, it is, because we are observing it. We don't have to go get inundated with it. Sure, because of the truth of God's word. We didn't come up with the plethora of lies that we're faced with 24/7, and we are faced with it 24/7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'd like to read verses 3 and 4. As we're painting this picture of deceit and lies. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For our exhortation was not of deceit, and that's our word, deceit, was not of lies, deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. You see how uncleanness and guile, bitterness, is tied together to the word for deceit and lies? And then verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, pleasing God, which trieth our hearts. Both of these sections that I just read in Ephesians and here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the answer is to speak God's word, to speak it the way that he wants it spoken. And then we grow thereby. We speak God's word and we want to please God. We're not men pleasers. Very interesting, isn't it? And if you go down a few more verses to verse 11, we're still in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 11. It says, the word says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. This delusion is the same word as deceit and error and lies. It's translated into English, but the Greek word, it has all those flavors in it. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And it's more along the lines of God allowing it to happen because of how the world is set up and because man has choice and free will, and that we do have an enemy, and it's the god of this earth, that's the devil. And that's where the lies come from. And people can believe lies. It's available to believe a lie. And that's where the problems start to come in. When somebody mixes their faith with a lie and they think it's something other than it is, they're in deep kimchi. They're in trouble from the start. And so it always goes back to, what does God's word say? So now we've seen about believing a lie, that it's available to believe a lie. Winds of doctrine by what men say. And they are lying in wait to deceive. They have ulterior motives. And yet, learning and speaking the truth invalidates all the lies. James chapter 5, I'd like to read verses 19 and 20. James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, as we're continuing to study this error or this deceit, delusion now. In verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err, E-R-R, err, that's the same Greek word. If any of you do err from the truth, And see, that's the error. You don't err from a lie. A lie is error. A lie is a lie. But if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. See, the error of his way is one of the great ways to understand what it means to sin. It means to not do God's word. It means to do something in place of it. And it's so deceptive that it's virtually impossible not to have lived for humanity, not to have lived some part of their life in error or in lies, believing that it is truth. That's the big picture. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 15 to 18. And I am moving through this part rather quickly. You can make you can do the verses and then go look at it yourself as you're studying. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 15 to 18. In verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. There it is. There's God's word written. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with it, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. If somebody doesn't know God's word, and if they have lies mixed in with it, in other words, it doesn't matter which section of God's word you read, it's all written to us. Well, that's a lie because of the truths of the seven administrations. And you've got to get to whom correct. That's just one thing. But if somebody doesn't know that and they believe that it's all written to us, well, it's unto their own destruction. They're going to have a lack in life, because they don't know what God's word truly does say, what's written to them specifically, which is in the seven church epistles, and the how of understanding the gift of Holy Spirit and the operation of it. And so there's a wrestling that happens with the scriptures, and the reason is that things are hard to be understood, and Paul spoke of those things. He spoke of the things that are hard to be understood. He explained them. And people that are unlearned and unstable, they wrestle unto their own destruction. And so there's a challenge in learning God's word, in the sense that you have to be instructed. You know, the eunuch in the book of Acts said, when Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch goes, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" We're not on our own with this kind of thing. And the error is so big out there that there is more error being taught than truth. That's sad to say. But silence is one of the great things that allows the mystery of iniquity to work. Silence of the truth. We hardly ever hear the truth of God's word. We hear everything else, but what about the truth of God's word? Well, it's silent about it, like it's not even there. It doesn't exist. And whatever else that does exist is being purported for it, or bits and pieces of it are, and it causes error to grow. Well, verse 17 says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error," and there's the word, the error, the deceit, the lies, "of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Of the wicked is genitive of origin. That's where the lies originate from. We didn't come up with it, just like we didn't come up with God's word. But once we understand that lies exist out there, and once we understand the truth of God's word, and we can tell ourselves, "Oh, I believe the lie, I'm walking away from it," don't be upset at yourself. Just be thankful that you learned and then you walk away from it. Even if you were hoodwinked most of your life to believe a certain way, and it's error. And that's where humanity is. That's where most people are. They believe a lie. And so the first thing is like to get angry and then to refuse it. But then there's an acceptance of it when you start to see the bigger picture. And it's always by God's grace that we can see the bigger picture. That's why it says in verse 18 here in 2 Peter chapter 3, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, that's how we grow. We grow in God's favor, and it's by way of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not genitive of origin of the wicked. The wicked is where the lies originates from. We're not part of that. We don't want anything to do with it. And yet, we get hoodwinked and have been just because we live on the face of this earth with whatever's going on in the earth. And I'll show you that about the pendulum here in a minute. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'd like to read verses 13 and 17, and that will close this part about what the Greek word for lies and deceit and error mean, just to give you a flavor of it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax or become worse and worse, deceiving, and there's our word, comma, and being deceived, there's the word again, that they're being deceived and they're deceiving others. There's no good thing that comes out of lies and deception. It's a downward spiral. They're deceived and they think it's the truth also. You can't talk them out of it. There's no reasoning with it. We only speak the truth. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that's key also. Where did you learn what you learned? You need to be able to go to God's word line by line, verse by verse. It's got to fit with the mathematical exactness in a scientific precision. God's got a reason where he has everything in God's word, why he has it, to whom he has it, when he has it, where he has it. That's God's word. It's perfect. And then verse 14, again, the bottom part of it, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We're not being seduced by something that we have no knowledge of. What is the source? And that's a good question to ask anytime you feel like you're getting hoodwinked. Well, where'd you learn that? What's the word of God say about that? Show me in the word, please. Show me in the word line by line and verse by verse. God's word is our answer, because from God's word is truth. From the wicked are all the lies, and their inequity and what they do is so hidden that you hardly even know they exist. All you do is hear the winds of doctrine and the well put together things. But where did they come from? And then Paul continued in verse 15 here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Uh-huh. There it is. That's where we go. Which are able to make thee wise. Oh, really? Well, thank you, God. Make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's where salvation comes from, which is through faith or believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable. It's not going to take you and destroy you like the lies of the wicked do. And it's not going to deceive. And you're not going to be talking to somebody that's deceived and it's going to take you with them. You know, misery loves company kind of thing. It's given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, which is instruction in righteousness, the right way of living, not living by way of lies. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The truth of God's word, it just levels the playing field. It makes the battlefield visible. Because this, we just have learned these things from God's word about the battlefield, about the error, deceit, and the lies that are out there. There, it's rampant. It's 24/7. But the truth of God's word makes this battlefield visible. And also gives a pathway necessary for us to walk Christ-like. And it shows us how to walk Christ-like with God's word. You know, and having said these things, there are two, and this is what I wanted to focus on, there are two commonly believed lies that once we understand them, we can fix it. The individual that believes any or all, even the smallest part, and lives according to these two lies, and I call them both sides of the pendulum, they get seduced and they can't walk in truth. They walk in error. But by understanding what they are and how to deal with it, then for the first time, one can walk in deliverance. And that's why I wanted to present to you the lie pendulum. And there's two sides of the lie pendulum in life. I call it a pendulum. I didn't coin the phrase, but it's like one side is this and the other side is that. And they both are connected. And I want to show you how they're connected. And they both are a downward spiral and no good thing is going to come from them. So there's two sides of this. And so let's swing to one side and we'll look at beliefs. Swinging to one side, let's say it's a belief of the lie concerning shame and unworthiness. Well, resulting in a fear of death and all points in between. You know, people that have fear of death are all their lifetime subject to bondage. They're bondage. They're afraid. They're living a lie. They believe a lie. And whenever a lie is believed, fear accompanies it. And whenever and wherever, and Jerry shared this in his June 9 teaching, that whenever and wherever you have fear, there's a lie that's the cause of it. There's no lie. There's no fear in truth. There's no fear with God. None. None whatsoever. So you can just start to see that, oh, there's something going on here. I better start to take a checkup from the neck up. I need to figure this out. So this side of the pendulum, and I'm going to show you a big picture. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty minutiae of what it's all about, cause and effect. I'm going to show you the big picture. This side of the picture of the pendulum believes that God has no mercy or little mercy, that God forsakes upon a whim or just forsakes as his nature. He just forsakes others. You remember the teachings? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a lie. That's not what the word says. In fact, they left the Aramaic in there. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, for this purpose was I spared. When Jesus Christ, it was revealed to him the big purpose of what he gave his life for, that it would be Christ in you and Christ in me, and God would have sons and daughters. Well, I digress back, but that's one of the lies, that God has no mercy, he forsakes upon a whim, and that his promises are empty and do not work, especially when they're needed the most. Sometimes they may work, and maybe the individual won't even come out and say this exactly, but their lifestyle shows it. They live a life that is empty and it doesn't have the abundant grace of God in it, especially when it's needed the most. This is one side of the pendulum. So let's call this side of the pendulum Mr. Looking Within. He's looking within. Él está mirando al dentro. That's in Spanish. He's looking within. And I paragraphed this, or I captioned this, Mr. Looking Within, as shame and unworthiness before God. I tried just to make a short synopsis of this side of the pendulum after explaining it. Well, let's look at the other side of the pendulum. And swinging to the other side now, there's a belief, just like the one side had a belief. This side has a belief also. It's a belief of the lie, and it's a lie that they're believing, that one is above it all and that one can do anything one pleases. Well, with this type of belief, there's little need for God. Why? Because you can work out all your issues with the incredible brains and wisdom already resident inside. You know it all. And if you don't, you're going to act like you do. You're going to tell everybody your answer, regardless of what they think. And there's tools involved with this: pride, arrogance, puffed up knowledge, having every answer, like, if you don't believe it, ask me, I'll tell you, I do know, or they're just going to say it anyway. And this can also be accompanied by violent temper and an abusive lifestyle, without a care and regard for others. And let's call this side Mr. Looking Without. He's looking without. He's not looking within. The one that looks within is all miserable. The one that looks without, because he thinks he's got it all, is Mr. Pride and Arrogance. And so this is a big picture painting of the two sides of the pendulum. You got pride and arrogance, Mr. Looking Without. And then you have the shame and unworthiness before God, Mr. Looking Within. And these swinging pendulums in life, that's the connect between Mr. Looking Within and Mr. Looking Without. And I'm going to primarily be focusing in this teaching on Mr. Looking Within, but I can't help but share about Mr. Looking Without, how they parallel, and they do parallel. But where can we go in God's Word to see this and to understand it? Because, again, we're looking at the minefields in life, and we're looking at some of the greatest ways of these lies have been manifested in people's lives, and it's very visible. And if any of this is in there in your life, then you just can tell self, I don't want that anymore. Where do I go in God's Word? And that's where we'll move in this teaching, because we all have been affected by it. You just might as well go hang it in the closet of any kind of thinking that it hasn't affected you. It's affected all of us. And we walk in these minefields of life. And with God's grace and mercy, we can continue to live triumphantly in everything that we do. And God is so blessed with us. He is so thankful. He says in the epistles of John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And then a lot of times God's children that are captured by the Mr. Looking Within are going to think, oh my God, I'm like the inventor and creator of how I feel. Oh, woe is me. Well, what should they do in place of that? Mr. Looking Without doesn't even think that way. He goes, I'm better than you, and I'm going to show you. Well, that's not true either. What does he do? What needs to happen? Because we're around this all the time. We live in this world. And so let's look at the Mr. Looking Within. Let's look at the shame and unworthiness before God. And we need to go to Psalm 77, and I'd like to read verses 2 to 4 in Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, verse 2, Mr. Looking Within, in the day of my trouble, he was just troubled, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. And verse 4, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I can't sleep. I can't speak. I remember what my life was like. Oh, I'm just miserable. My soul refused to be comforted. So Mr. Looking Within is so troubled with sores running in the night, soul refusing to be comforted, worried beyond belief and overwhelmed. Complaining doesn't help. Remembering God even is troubling for this individual. Sleepless nights? He was so troubled that reaching out for help really seems out of the question. It's my problem. I made it. This is my bed. I've got to lie in it. I can't tell anybody about it. I'm so ashamed or whatever. Help seems out of the question. Reaching out for help. And then in verse 7 and 8 of Psalm 77, this person continues. Verse 7, will the Lord cast off evermore, forever? And will he be favorable no more? Verse 8, is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Well, Mr. Looking Within is overwhelmed. He's downtrodden. He's afraid of life in abundance. He thinks that God's word couldn't possibly work for him, or certainly not like it did maybe in the distant past memories. Yeah. Thinking that God's mercy, his favor is gone, cast off forever, just to throw me away, forsaken me. No more favor and grace in my life. His promises fail. His word does not work. He's already questioning it. There's a lie there. Whenever somebody questions the truth of God's word and they know it's truth, then they're starting to believe a lie. That's the seductiveness of the lies. And Mr. Looking Within was inundated with this. Well, I painted the picture of Mr. Looking Within. Let's look at Mr. Looking Without, the pride and arrogance. Let's go back a couple of Psalms to Psalm 73. And I'd like to read verses 2 to 6, because now we're looking at Mr. Looking Without. And I caption this, pride and arrogance. Verse 2 of Psalm 73. But as for me, My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They don't even believe they're going to die. They think they're going to live forever. Not only now on this earth, but they think they're going to live forever in however they fashioned or whatever they believed in getting into the eternity that does not include Jesus Christ. And that's a lie. But their strength is firm. They're so convinced. You can't talk them out of it. They believe that. They're not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. They don't get sick. They're not in trouble. They're above the law. They can do whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. They're just not in trouble or plagued. Verse 6, therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. These people, the arrogant, prideful people, they are chained with pride. Pride cannot leave them. It's part of who they are. And the violence, the anger, the abuse covereth them as a garment. And I wanted to show this to you because we're not going to go look at violent, angry people and what they do with their strength and their prosperity. We're going to look at it a different way, because here's the psalmist, and this is how he was affected by it. He was so troubled. He's troubled just like the guy in Psalm 77. You see the parallel and the link here? And so the pendulum is connected by the commonality of what it did for their soul. They're just so upset. His feet were almost gone. His steps are well nigh slipped. But it was because of a different way of looking at things, because he was looking without. He wasn't looking within at his own lack and how he felt. He was looking without at the prosperity of others that weren't doing what he did. You know, and he's saying to himself, I'm doing everything right. I'm living according to the word, the way it was back in Psalms. But I'm envious at the foolish. I'm kind of jealous of them because they don't have to do what I do, but I'm not receiving what they're receiving. And so he was basing it all on the five senses, how he felt, the abundance that he had or didn't have. And so his soul was just wasted because of this. But the problem came from looking without. And so I wanted to look at it this way, how the individuals were affected by this, and then also what they're affected by, and the truth that there are those out there, the wicked do have prosperity. And I just laid that out in the deceit and what they're doing, and they're not in trouble as other men. They're not plagued like other men. They're lying in wait to deceive. These are those people that are like that we deal with in the minefield. Does that make sense? So Mr. Looking Without, he's got envy and jealousy from looking at others as he was living the so-called right way, whatever that is, whatever they determined to be right. Well, exactly who is out there to look at like this? And so in taking a minute to focus on the type of people being looked at, this individual is looking at those without who were trusting in themselves, in their own wisdom, in their own abilities. And as these people plowed ahead in life, they just didn't seem to be troubled as other men. They weren't plagued with sickness, disease, poverty, want, etc. Their lives were full of pride. It was chained to them. Arrogance. They were puffed up. They knew it all. They even used violence and abuse, seeming without a care or without regard to others. And these prideful and arrogant people were above the law. They didn't need God or his word. Well, on this side is the belief of the lie that one is above it all and can do anything that one pleases. Sure, anything that one pleases. And on the looking within side is the belief of the lie that no matter what the individual does, that he's outside of God's help. God's forsaken him. Just miserable. And so you have these two sides of the pendulum. So you see how there are two sides of the pendulum? Well, let's look at a couple of the parallels. Now that we painted the picture of Mr. Looking Within, which is shame and unworthiness before God, and Mr. Looking Without, which is pride and arrogance. let's look at a couple of these parallels that help connect these two together, because they both end in the same thing. God is not able to help them because of their beliefs of the lie. They need to get rid of the belief. They need to change their belief where they put their faith. And only there's only one way to do that, and that's by going to God's Word. God's Word is the answer for anything in life like this. So let's look at the parallel of feelings. Feelings dictate that what is believed is true. Both of them. I feel invincible. The other guy, I'm shamed. I can't do it. God will not help me. That's how they felt. They actually felt like that. Can't talk him out of it. So the lie is from Mr. Looking Within is that it's impossible to succeed. I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to lose. I feel like I'm going to fail. God can't help me. And I'm giving you the big picture, but any taste of that in a Christian's life is a lie. Well, here's the other side of the pendulum, the lie, Mr. Looking Without. It's impossible to fail. For one, it's impossible to succeed. For Mr. Looking Without, it's impossible to fail. I'm untouchable. I'm above any law or issue that will cause me to fail. I don't need God. God can't help me. And I certainly will never give credit to the one true God. Just like the Mr. Looking Within, I'm not going to give credit to God. Or if he does, it would be like, God makes me miserable. It's God's fault. God took me, my wife, my friend. God caused his sickness. You see how that's in there? Ooh, not too cool, is it? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Yeah, to qualify the pendulum swing, varying degrees of faith mixed with Mr. Looking Within and Mr. Looking Without's belief system easily, very easily may be mixed with the same faith mixing with varying truths of God's Word. In other words, it isn't all or nothing. They're going to be all 100% unbelief. Even the most agnostic person seeks truth. It isn't all or nothing, and it shouldn't be looked at like it is. Error, lies, they cannot exist without truth being mixed in. They can't stand on their own accord. That's what it says here in faith, having made shipwreck. They hold faith in a good conscience. That's what we do. We hold our faith. We don't let it go. We don't let it slip away. And we certainly don't mix it with something we don't know about. That's why you need to know the source of everything you believe. If you don't, you're suspect. You can get seduced so easily. Even the very elect can get seduced with lies. Yeah, we don't want that because it's a downward spiral. It's deceiving, destruction, and it ends in death. For those that never can even get born again because they believe that lie. But it ends in a downward spiral regardless. And this some have put it away. They put it away. They put the faith and a good conscience away. And they made it shipwreck. And what their life that used to be full of truth, now it's got, the ship is broke. They're no longer perfectly outfitted, truly furnished unto all good works. They've got bits and pieces of truth floating on the water. The ship's broken up, and they're out there scrambling, holding on to a board, and all the water around them is the error. There's more error than truth in their life, and that's what makes it shipwreck. The ship can no longer go on the smooth sailing, fully outfitted, having everything it needs, sealed off so the lies, the water, can't get in. That's what shipwreck is. And the last thing Christians should want to do is have any kind of error mixed into the truth. They want to go to the Word, find the truth. Well, most people don't even believe God's Word is truth anymore. It's been so convoluted. It's been so convoluted that a person that thinks that something that's not normal is normal. Something that's unnatural is natural. Something that is ungodly is godly. That's a convoluted, it's out there. We live in it. We got to deal with this. There's another parallel. that connects these two together. Believing lies, thinking they are truth. We kind of touched on this, but knowing that what is believed isn't true, that it is a lie, it's critical to understand this. Believing lies, thinking they are truth. Yeah. And we want to get to the point to know that what is believed isn't true, if it isn't, that it's a lie. You got to call it what it is. You can paint it any way you want to, but if it's a lie, it's a lie, and no lie is of the truth. And the father of lies, which is the devil, is the one pushing all this. There's no truth in him. Yeah. The looking within individual, let's look at him first. The shame and unworthiness individual, looking within. Oh, woe's me person. Everything's bad. Always has a negative outlook. Can't see the positive in something. Shame and saving face as one acknowledges that what was believed didn't come to pass and wasn't true. This is what needs to happen when this individual realizes that whatever he or she was believing isn't true. In other words, they didn't die from that sickness. They didn't get put out on the street and lose their home when they lost their job. They didn't lose their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. They didn't lose, and they realize, oh, everything's going to be okay. And this is, there's a little bit of shame and offense that one goes through, and to save face as they acknowledge that what was believed didn't come to pass and wasn't true. And so when you have a miserable person that's always downtrodden, they're almost expecting, looking forward to the next bad thing, except instead of looking for God's deliverance and help. You see how they need to shift the mindset and give the glory to God. But there's a gap there. There's a chasm they can't cross. And they can't cross it because of their faith being mixed with the lie. And they don't even know it's a lie. So the individual that has a black swan, life-changing, possibly a soul-slapping event, showing of, drum roll, his own or her own mortality, he realized that what he or she believed wasn't true. You know, when something happens in life that is so life-changing that actually just knocks your soul for a loop, that life within your wonderful little body there, you realize that what you believe isn't true, that the worst thing is not going to happen. I'm still breathing. And you got into some kind of situation, you come out, you walk away from it, you go, how did that happen? I should have died, or I should have lost everything, or I didn't lose my job, or whatever you put in there. Once the healing and deliverance happens, after whatever life's event that got thrown at you, gets thrown at you, this kind of individual, that the looking within, the shame and unworthiness individual, this kind of individual has a real big problem, has a lot of trouble giving God the glory due to the lies believed concerning God being unmerciful, unfavorable, casting off, the word of God not working, etc. A person can't blame God and give God the glory at the same time. He still will need the truth to believe and live according to. You see, that's what's missing, and that's what needs to get replaced. What truth of God's word invalidates what is going on here? And it's even deeper than that. It's a trust with God, with the Heavenly Father. It's believing that we are who God's word says we are, that we have what God's word says we have, that we will be what God's word says we can be, and that we can do what God's word says we can do. And we have his favor in our life. That's what it's about. What it gets down to. It gets down to our individual relationship with our Heavenly Father. But I'm taking a step above that and showing you kind of what we deal in the minefield. So here's the parallel answer. Here's the parallel answer. Humbling oneself, emptying oneself out of arrogance and pride, just emptying it out. Jesus Christ emptied himself out, and he took on the nature of a doulos. He actually started doing what God's word said to do. It wasn't what he was doing that the world said to do. He went to God's word. This is what God's word says. This is what I'm going to do. He put on, started believing God's word, realizing that only God delivers one from the spiritual maladies in life. And it's only in this manner will mental space be made available for truth to reside. Truth must start residing in this individual's life. It's not that you start being mad at yourself for all the lies you believe. Remember, we're not the father or the originator of these. They came at us. They were delivered to us. We're the recipient of those. Just like we're the recipients of God's word. We're not the originals or creators of God's word. God is. And we're not the originators and the inventors of all that's deceitful and error. The father of lies is. That's where it comes from. Well, what's going to fix it? It's the truth of God's word. And the looking without individual, we just looked at Mr. Looking Within. The looking without individual, Mr. Pride and Arrogance. What about a black swan event happening in this person's life? Something happened. Let's call it a black swan event. Something out of nowhere popped up that was so far above and beyond any five sense ability to defend against or overcome. In other words, this person was in it deep and he was about to lose his life or lose everything, or it was a tremendous loss and he did not have an answer for it. And that's the nature of what goes on in the spiritual realm. And this is where the looking without individual will always fall short. Man can't direct his own way out of a wet paper bag. We were dead in sins and trespasses with God and without hope. And God gave us the truth of his word. People that had the boldness to speak it spoke it to us. We believed sufficiently enough of it. We received the gift of Holy Spirit, became sons and daughters. And now we're continuing to have the eyes of our understanding light. We're continuing to try to learn God's word and to walk in truth. And not walk by our five senses. Well, this looking without individual, the big picture one, he can't go beyond his five senses. That's all he has. And he can't defend or overcome the black swan event, so to speak. So the way we feel does not determine if everything will be okay or not, nor if God's word is true or not. So you see the parallel here. The looking within the individual is exactly the same way. The way he felt doesn't determine. Oh, I'm still sick. I'm not healed. Oh, I feel like God doesn't love me. So is God's word a lie then? No, it doesn't determine it the way we feel. Feelings trap, ensnare, and keep somebody just suckered away from God's word. What does the word say? By his stripes we were healed. We're not healed because the pain is gone. We're healed because God's word says we're healed because of what Jesus Christ accomplished and what God promised that he would do. And the promises of God will come to pass. See, the looking without individual, he may or may not be aware of the reality of an event's finality, nor of how God delivered him. He may have got knocked out and he just had no idea what happened. And all of a sudden he's still alive, and the more picture he gets, maybe he even lost his memory. I'm going a little deep here, but he has to be told what happened. He has to be shown, and then all of a sudden, maybe an awareness will happen. And regardless if he does that or not, he is very aware that his belief system did not save him. The arrogant, prideful, I'm above it all. It did not save him. He almost lost his life or whatever. But with both of these people, the within and without, it's impossible to give God the glory for deliverance because he doesn't even know that God did it. He doesn't even know what he got saved from. And maybe some would, but this guy I'm sharing about maybe didn't. And so the individual that has a black swan, life-changing, soul-slapping event showing his mortality, he realized that his belief system did not save him. And the looking within person, his belief system is keeping him from walking in abundance. But it's still a belief system, and it's still believing a lie. And now we're mixing walking by somebody, the person's own feelings, into the mix. These are the parallels that go on with both sides of the pendulum. Well, what's the answer for, the parallel answer for the looking without? Humbling oneself, same as the other one. Humbling oneself, emptying oneself out of arrogance and pride, and putting on and believing God's word. It's only in this manner will mental space be made available for truth to reside. We've got to empty the mind out. We've got to put the truth on. You know, for every one answer that we have for any of life's situation, God has a thousand. And who's to say that God's not working in another individual's life, so when they come up and give an answer or a different way to do something that's way outside the nine dots of your or my thinking, that God's not working within them. And the word says to be swift to hear and slow to speak. And I think that we could pay tribute to that a little bit. Sure, different times in life we may need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Here's another one. Living a lie unrecognized will cause the individual to be open to being seduced right back into believing the same lie that they were just taken out of. The parallel here is that both Mr. Within and Mr. Without are living a lie. So the looking within, impossible to succeed person will act out in such a way so as to invite the negative reality. Sure, confession of belief yields receipt of confession. What we confess and believe is what's going to come into our life. Eventually, some form of it will. Life doesn't happen in a vacuum. And so the looking within person, if they really feel like they do, they're going to act out in their life to further that. They invite the negative reality of what they're believing. And so the lie goes from a mental thing that came from a spiritual source to the physical reality in their life. And now they look downtrodden, miserable, never having needs met. And yet, if they talk about God, they make it look like God is like that. And they even blame God. And they could, sure. And that's the looking within person. The looking without, impossible to fail person, what are they going to do? They're going to act out in such a way as to invite harm again. I'm above it all. I'll live my own life. I got through this thing. See, I did it myself. And won't give any credit or glory to God for having delivered him. And so what's the key? The key to both of these situations is to recognize the lie. And I'm going to call this the thorn in the side, because I think it's that big. I think it's that big that it's something that's there day in and day out, and you're just asking God to get it out of your life, and God tells you, my grace is sufficient unto you, and that you know that you can live life Christ-like no matter what's happening. Call it that thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Let's put it in perspective. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, a lot of word that Paul received, didn't he? There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And looking within and looking without, that is a buffeting. It's a non-step. You're chained to what's causing it, the pride. And the miserableness, you're just chained to it. You can't break the chain, and you can't even go to God. You won't go to God on one hand. The other one, that you feel like God's forsaken you and that you don't deserve it. Won't even pray sometimes, but it's time to change that. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Well, he went to God. Paul said, I want this to depart. I can't make it go away. It's there all the time. I'm buffeted by it. And I'm moving your word, God. I've got this greatest revelation the church has ever received. But I'm asking you to remove this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Infirmities are those things that the sufferings of this present world, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. These are two separate things happening. We've got one, which is our Christ-like walk, all things that deal with the gift of Holy Spirit, the giving of God, and what Jesus Christ accomplished, and our walk after that. And then we have our natural man body, that's strapped to our lives, that will not dissolve until we get our new body that's fashioned like unto Jesus Christ's body. We have these two separate lives going on, and we are walking the Christ-like life, and we are not believing the natural man way of life. We're not. So most gladly will we rather glory in our infirmities, not that we have them, because we want God to take them away, not that we have them, but that the power of God in Christ in us is on our lives, and we're going to move God's word come hell or high water. We're just not going to give the other the place that it's trying to make. And the place that it's trying to make is defined in both Mr. Looking Within and Mr. Looking Without. These are the extremes of two very thorny, very deep, real life realities. Stop blaming yourself. You didn't send a messenger of Satan to buffet you. You didn't send anything in your life that indirectly messes with you day in and day out. This is something that we deal with. There's always tares in the wheat field. But we make a choice. We're going to stand on God's word. And these are two extremes of the extremes of two very different thorny realities. These spiritually thorny extremes and all points in between, whenever you get a whiff of this in your life, the lie is around. They need godly deliverance. What is it? What is it? The godly deliverance. John chapter 8, verse 32. The truth shall make you free. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's deliverance can only come by the way of the truth of his word. Another point, the truth's answer. Let's look at Mr. Looking Within first. What is the truth's answer to the lie of thinking and believing the worst? Believing a lie is believing the worst. Believing the truth is believing the best. Well, what is the truth's answer? Romans chapter 8, verse 36 to 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 36. As it is written, this is the truth's answer. This is what Looking Within needs to know and to speak and to believe and to live accordingly. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted for sheep for the slaughter. Got a flavor of Mr. Looking Within here? Yeah. Well, Mr. Looking Within's answer is nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. That you shout it off the rooftops. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate our Holy Spirit from our bodies, from our Holy Spirit's salvation, cannot separate us from that. And nothing is going to separate me and my walk before God ever. I'm understanding the lie. I'm understanding how feelings work. I'm understanding how the natural man of body and soul goes by his reason and his intellect. And there's so many things out there that are contrary to truth. And I understand that I'm going to go to the truth. I'm going to do anything I can do in my life to learn, to work the truth, and to give time for that because it's my life raft. The problem of lack of self-worth and thinking that the worst, which is death actually, is going to happen all the day long, it's spiritual in nature. It's a lie. Mr. Looking Within would do good to learn and believe and start confessing these truths. That's the truth's answer to Mr. Looking Within. Well, what's the truth's answer to Mr. Looking Without? The truth's answer to the lie of trusting in one's own wisdom and abilities? What's the truth's answer to that? There's many, okay? I'm only captioning this because God's working in your heart and life to show you great things too. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Well, learn God's word and trust in God. Stop learning and going by one's own wisdom and understanding. Start acknowledging God, and he shall direct thy paths. It's in the knowing of the truth that illuminates and sheds light on the lie. With the truth of God's word, both Mr. Looking Within and Mr. Looking Without will be set free from the lie. Well, if they so choose. They could go right back into it. They could fall right back into it by their lifestyle. It's so easy to fall back into it. You really got to make a few changes. And sometimes it's not easy. But it always works. God's word always works. We're never alone in life. And finally, once the truth is learned, exposing the lie, a lifestyle choice needs to be made and adhered to. So, yeah, you learn what the lie is, you learn what the truth is, you start confessing the truth. Well, now we've got lifestyle change. Absolutely necessary. You know, when somebody, it says in the Gospels that and I'm talking about somebody that had devil spirits. I'm not speaking of Christians because I don't believe we have devil spirits. I think the wicked one cannot touch us. We can sure be influenced by them and indirectly, and we can be around those that are, but they're not coming into our body and our mind. But their thoughts to seduction from the thoughts and the lies can come in there. And then if we sit there and start to believe and act out, we could emulate real closely what somebody that actually is possessed does and have the problems with that. Well, we don't want to do that. And I'm not speaking to that. But I am speaking to that a lifestyle choice needs to be made. Once the truth is learned, exposing the lie, then the choice needs to be made and adhered to. Because life is spiritual in nature. We trust in God's word and in his abilities. We acknowledge him in all of our ways. And as we do it, it always results in his direction and help. And to close with, in Psalm 91, I'd like to read verses 3 to 10. Psalm 91, starting in verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. You know, I think about this, and it's a parallel between Mr. Within and Without. It's noisy in the mind of both. One has got the arrogant and prideful thoughts going on, just crowding out the word. And the other one has the miserable, forsaken, forlorn, lack of self-worth thoughts going on. And it's noisy in between those two sets of ears. The noise and pestilence. And it's like a pestilence when we have lies that we're around all the time. We're swatting the flies. And some of them are so strong, they're called thorns. Surely God shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Because that's the goal, to snare, to entrap, to kill, steal, destroy. And from the noise and pestilence. There's just nothing good about the seduction of lies. Truth is great. Truth is what we need. He shall cover thee with his feathers. You'll always be clothed with God. And under his wings shalt thou trust. There's no trust in the world that things going to fall apart when you need it the most. Worldly stuff. But not God's wings. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Put it out in front of you the next time you run into a problem. When you learn truth and you know that it's the right thing to say, then let it be your shield and buckler. Let it cover the loins of your strength, of the innermost part of your mind. Let it be your shield of faith out in front of you, knowing that it's going to deflect and get rid of all the fiery darts. And not only that, but quench them. Fiery darts, thorns in the side. Man, those are prickly kind of things, aren't they? They burn, they hurt, they're not good. And we don't want that kind of stuff in our minds. If you have any of the burning and the hurting in there, that's from the thorns and the pricks and the lies out there. The truth replaces that. The truth heals that. Yeah, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Quit worrying about having to wake up in the middle of the night if you lock your dang door. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day out in the middle of nowhere. Don't need to be afraid of anything coming at you. You do not need to fear the lie that a black swan event that may have happened to you in the past is going to come back and happen again. The arrow that flieth by day. Totally out of your control. But you're in God's care. You're in his help. We all are. Verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Whatever's breeding out there in the night, it can go do whatever, but it's not going to mess with us. It walketh in darkness because the light burns it, cleanses it, cleans it, pushes it back. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I don't care if it's out there in the daylight hours, if it's happening right in front of you, or as the media megahorn is always doing, showing you how bad the 1/10 of 1 billionth of 1% of the world is and making it look like the whole world's like that. Wasteth at noonday. Behind closed doors or out in the open, the pestilence is not going to mess with you. I don't, you don't have to go do man's solutions to do this. And you don't have to go inject and put anything in your body, in your mind mentally, or in your body physically that is going to hamper the move of God's word and God working in your heart and life. You make that choice. If you don't, well, take what comes. But you make that choice to never allow anything in your home, in your life, in your mind that would be contrary to that. Be proud of who you are. Put that shield and buckler out there, trusting God that He takes care of you. Confess that to anybody that says the opposite, because that's the pushing in, trying to make you, trying to make me live a lifestyle that's contrary to God's word. Verse 7, it doesn't end. This is big in Psalm 91. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Okay? Think about it like this. Jesus Christ gave His life, right? He died. There were people dying all around. He knew that death was appointed unto every man. Jesus knew what Adam caused, and He came to fix that. There were thousands and ten thousands and thousands upon thousands of people that had already died by that time that He came to redeem mankind. But it shall not come nigh thee. And even if it did happen, which it did, He gave His life. He willingly gave His life. But the eternalness of it did not happen. God raised Him from the dead. God fixed it. He fixed it for Jesus Christ, and He fixed it for us. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. If all these things I've just said are not enough, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Is that God's word or is that a lie? Well, the lie says that God's word is a lie. The lie says that you got to take this, you got to go do that, you got to be afraid of this, you got to go seek all the self-help things. You have to keep trying. You never know when it's going to happen. You can confess all you want, but you better be humble because you could have done something wrong, and you're going to receive it. You know, that's what Job got hit with, and that's what the blind man who sinned in his life? They said in the Gospels, this man or his parents said he was born blind. Jesus said, neither, is that the works of God might be done. That's the big deal. It's that the works of God might be done. And that's what God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. We got to take our eyes off of the lies and what they produced and what they continue to produce in the world, because that's their nature. That's what they do. And keep focusing on God's word and what we have inside with the gift of Holy Spirit, and moving God's word that way and letting its increase show forth its abundance. Let your home be the Garden of Eden. Let your life be the everlasting fountain of waters that flows out from you. Let your life, your home, your environment, let it be the place where people come for a drink of water. And when you find yourself in life situations that you're going to have to stick there for a minute because of the care that you're giving, the help that you're doing, the situation that you're in, don't let that ever stop you from doing the great things that stop the pendulum of Mr. Looking Without and Mr. Looking Within happen. Choose to believe and confess God's word, and it will come to pass. It must come to pass. God says it will. Choose to believe you are who God's word says you are, that you have what God's word says you have, and that you have God's abundance in your life. Choose to believe you are worthy to stand before God Almighty as His son. This process changes Mr. Looking Within and Mr. Looking Without to being Mr. Persuaded, who now looks to God and to His word for answers. No longer sheep for a slaughter. Both are now more than conquerors, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Love y'all.